Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with the Health Ranger Report. And today, one of my favorite all-time guests, Reno Rolle, the co-founder of Boku Superfood, which is, of course, on my top list of amazing superfoods. But the issue today is not about the product in particular. It's really about the issue of how does nutrition impact society? Why is our society so unhealthy today, cognitively, mentally, psychologically? Why do we have problems with poverty or people not knowing who to vote for, not understanding economics, or not really getting the big picture? And we believe, both myself and Reno, who you're about to hear from, we believe that national health and global health starts with individual health. And here with some thoughts on that is Reno Rolle joining us by video. Reno, welcome to the Health Ranger Report.
Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy? Great to see you again.
I'm doing good, man. It's always good to have you on. So what do you think about society and the reflection of individual health in terms of the health of the greater society as a whole?
Yeah, it's such a great topic, Mike. I do think that, you know, like every powerful message, it begins with the impact it has on individuals and then their willingness or desire to share it. So, you know, it also speaks to the susceptibility of people in general. You know, I believe when you talk about nutrition and why people eat the things that they do, it's largely because they really don't know any better.
Right.
It's what we've always been told. It's what we've been taught. It's what we see on television. It's what we hear, you know, on the radio. And it's just this sort of sensibility to believe all of these things that you hear and actually fall victim to these advertisements and these claims. And so people really don't know. It becomes a function of awareness. And when one person that has a voice, a true influencer, experiences something dramatic or transformational, and they share it effectively, you know, that begins the sort of process of raising awareness, increasing, you know, education, and really moving toward a true shift.
But I think we also see a divergence, wouldn't you agree, where people seem to go, either they go down the road, the path of junk foods and fast food and processed, you know, genetically modified everything, or as they're waking up now, they're going in the direction of superfood, nutrition, remineralization, sea vegetables, nutritional supplements, all of these kinds of things, vitamin D. It's like there aren't very many people in the middle anymore. I just see this. It's like the middle class of nutrition is gone. It's like people are either doing, you know, microwave macaroni and cheese, or they're doing superfoods like Boku superfood. You agree with that assessment?
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but there is sort of this gap, isn't there? It's like, yeah. You know, yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm trying to think of, you know, who really resides in that gap. It would seem right now that the majority of the people are on the one side where they are eating mostly crap.
Right, right. And the worst offenders, I got to tell you, are parents with small children who just surrender to the food industry and what the kids are being marketed with. You know, it's like, let the kid eat anything they want, otherwise they're going to complain and whine. And I don't get that. You know, I know it's tough being a parent. You're a parent. You've had some of this experience. How do you encourage your children who are, you know, not little kids anymore, they're older, but how do you help them make better decisions about nutrition?
Well, you know, that actually was pretty simple for us, Mike. I mean, in reality, the kids' parents complain all the time. Oh, he won't eat that, or he won't eat this, or all they'll eat is this. You know, the only thing he'll have is pizza or mac and cheese, or the only thing he'll eat is, you know, Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops or whatever the heck it is. And the reality is, it's like, look, that kid, I'm pretty sure, doesn't have a credit card. That kid, I'm pretty sure, can't get in the car and drive to the grocery store. So the reality is, that kid is going to eat what you put in the house.
That's right.
So, and from my experience, if you let them go hungry long enough, they'll eventually eat anything.
And so that's funny you say that, because my answer has always been, the parent who says my kid won't eat the healthy stuff, my answer has always been, he's just not hungry enough yet.
Exactly.
I guess
that's what we experienced. Our kids grew up, you know, we were, you know, I guess fortunate, you know, in that, you know, our kids have this amazingly diverse palate. I mean, when we raised our kids, we would juice fresh vegetables and then freeze the juice. And that's what we would feed the kids as it would thaw. We would not juice, but in the food processor, blend up fresh fruits and vegetables. So we didn't buy baby food. We would just blend up this fresh fruit and vegetables and then thaw them out. We'd freeze them because, you know, both of us worked. So we had to try to find some, you know, method for efficiency. We would thaw them and then feed it to the kids. And that's all they ate, is fresh fruits and vegetables. When we ate out, they would eat fresh seafood. They would basically eat what we ate. We never took them to fast food restaurants. In fact, I just had this conversation the other day with my daughter. I don't think she's ever had a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Really?
Or ever.
Ever. Wow.
Or Big Mac. And she's 19 years old now. And she says that we just had this conversation. And so really, it is true. I mean, if parents are aware and they're evolved and they understand really what's going on out there, they are in control of those choices. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, very, very well said, Reno. Now, the other trend that I'm seeing in terms of nutrition is in the sports arena. Talk about like UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, Olympic athletes, professional football, baseball players, you name it, basketball players. More and more, they are realizing that if they don't get good nutrition, they're going to lose. And when it comes to UFC, losing can mean losing a few teeth, like a broken nose. It can mean breaking your arm. I remember watching one fight where a guy was in an arm bar, and he tried to lift the other opponent up, and his entire forearm just shattered and broke with the other guy hanging off of it. And I immediately thought, lack of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that guy was like 280 pounds. How does a 280-pound guy break his forearm? Because he's malnourished. That's why. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and that's a serious sport. And all of these athletes, you know, are very, very serious competitors. And it's so true. I think more and more of them are realizing, I mean, you know, the experience that we've had recently with the world's toughest woman. We've talked about this before in other interviews. I think, it once again, it speaks to the susceptibility of people, of consumers in general. You know, these processed crap supplements and energy drinks and all the rest of this, these garbage protein powders. I mean, they're being number one, produced and marketed by major corporations that have substantial budgets. They advertise, they promote. People are led to believe if it's on television, it must be true. You know, if it's in the stores on shelves, it must be safe to consume. And, you know, regardless of whether you're a professional athlete or, you know, a soccer mom or just a guy out there trying to earn a living, we are, as a whole, very susceptible, and we tend to believe these things, and we're subject to these impressions. So these companies are out there bombarding the airwaves with these advertisements. You know, they make their packaging so beautiful and attractive. Some of them even become like sort of status symbols. I remember when Starbucks first came on the scene, it was like cool to have a Starbucks cup.
Oh, really?
You know, like, it looked cool. Like, wow, you're really cool. And you know, I don't want to beat up on Starbucks, the brand, at all. Just as an example, some of these things become like almost status symbols.
Trendy. And
if you really look into what it is that you're eating and what you're doing to yourself, you begin to realize there are better choices out there that you could be making.
Well said. I got a question for you back on the society issue, though. A popular movie just came out not too long ago called The Hunger Games. And what an interesting name, because you know, today we are a society that's hungry for nutrition. Even though people are getting tons and tons of calories, they're not getting actual nutrition. So they keep eating, and their body keeps craving, and they overeat the calories, but they never get the minerals. They never get the nutrition. And it seems like society reflects that, where people are always, in society, they're always craving more money, more power, more material things, but they never feel fulfilled. They're not getting the spiritual fulfillment. And so I think that society today really reflects this. What's missing in our diets is a sense of wholeness, a sense of fulfillment. And even to take it into almost a weird way, you know, minerals are really kind of crystalline in structure in certain contexts. And, you know, crystals are really sort of frequencies of vibration. That's what powers your computer right now, is a little crystal in the chip of your computer. And it got me wondering, you know, is our society operating at the wrong frequency?
Oh, gosh, you think?
Yeah.
I mean, no, just no doubt about it. In fact, Mike, that reminds me of another conversation I just had recently at the Green Festival. I met this really great young lady, and she became a Boku customer, and somehow the conversation led to GMOs. And, you know, she said, well, what do you know about GMOs? And I said, well, you know, not much, but probably more than the average person, you know. And she said, well, don't you think, you know, people are demonizing, you know, GMOs. And don't you think maybe that's a little unfair, because, you know, there are so many people out there that are starving, and we've got the population is exploding, and we have to feed people. And so a lot of this chemical and genetic engineering is really focused on, you know, increasing yield and providing food to feed people. And I thought, you know, that's probably an okay argument, and some people might actually buy it. I said, but don't you think, I mean, it's really not about...
But it's false. The yields are not higher with GMOs.
Well, that's, first of all, that's absolutely the case. And I appreciate you bringing that up. But, you know, it caused me to sort of think, like, the whole concept is that we need more food. And
right.
The reality is we don't need more food. We need more nutrition. And it seems to me that, you know, it's all about more food because of all the companies, and really more food to them translates into more profit. And I just thought, well, gosh, if we would just put our energy and resources into growing superfoods, if we just found quality soils and treated those soils and the earth with respect and actually farmed nutrient-dense, health-forming superfoods and conditioned people to stop eating so much, stop being so full, and start focusing on fueling their bodies with superfoods.
Right.
I mean, that's probably the healthcare plan that we need to fix the mess.
Well, of course it is. But look at what's done. If you take raw sugar cane and then you process it, you get an actually a mineral-rich dark syrup. To turn that into white sugar, you have to remove all the minerals. You have to remove the nutrition. And that goes into animal feed, because cows and pigs would die without the minerals. And then the white, bleached, nutritionally deficient crap, the processed crap, goes to the humans. And then the humans get sick, and then all the people walk around wondering, why are the cancer rates so high? Well, gee, I wonder. If you fed that to the cows would fall over and die, and the farmers would go out of business because their cows are dead. But in humans, the surgeons and the hospitals and the drug companies are making fortunes off of keeping people sick.
Yeah. Well, I think the good news is that, you know, there are programs out there like yours. The word is really spreading. Thank goodness for the internet, you know, for now, Facebook, Twitter, social media. The word spreads these days so much faster than it ever did. You know, as I say, we're living at the speed of the internet. And so, you know, there's an upside and a downside to that, obviously. Some bad news spreads pretty quickly, too. But I think, you know, by and large, these positive messages of education and awareness, especially as it relates to nutrition and wellness, are really starting to proliferate. I think people are really starting to get the message. And I feel like I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. But I feel like we're really starting to gain some traction.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, on normal television, I mean, someone mentioned to me Dr. Oz. I've never actually watched his program, but someone told me that he featured matcha green tea on his program.
Really?
We were out at the Green Festival. I have no idea whether this is true or not, but a young lady came up to our booth and she said, oh my goodness, you have matcha green tea. Dr. Oz says it's fantastic. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I said, well, you found it now. And so I do think that we're experiencing, you know, some really solid momentum and traction. Would you agree?
Well, I do. I do think so. And, you know, Dr. Oz is a mixed bag, but I guess at the end of the day, given the audience that he's reaching, which is really kind of a stay-at-home mainstream consumer who's not that well-informed about nutrition, I would say he is a positive influence for those people. You know, just for the record, by the way, you know, his producers called me and wanted me to come on his show, and I actually declined. I didn't think it was going to be a good use of time, actually, to speak to that audience, because they're not ready for the advanced nutritional information that I want to share with people. You know, Dr. Oz definitely serves a function. And for the mainstream, he might be a really great choice. But I think that realm is not that interesting to me and probably to you. I mean, I know you like to reach as many people as possible, but I don't want to be teaching nutrition 101. I want to show people like peak human performance, you know. I want to help people reach the maximum human potential, which is virtually unlimited. And that's the realm where I get excited about exploring and finding new discoveries.
Yeah, interesting. Boy, I don't know, Mike. I think your message is so incredibly important, and I think you're so incredibly good at delivering it. I'd almost have to say, boy, if they call back, you know, give it some serious thought, because, you know, these people, you know, everyone, I believe everyone would benefit from learning about you and who you are and the incredible knowledge base that you have and share. I mean, everything we do, everywhere we go. I mean, you know, I just finished a book project with Dr. James Forsythe and Suzanne Summers called Anti-Aging Cures. In that book, we do a huge mention for natural news. Everywhere we go, we promote natural news at the Green Festivals, at any of the food festivals and music festivals, and everywhere Boku goes, because it's the shortcut to the information. I just tell people, my brother just came to me, said, you know, one of my dearest friends is suffering from brain cancer. He has a tumor right on the side of his head, of course. No, God forbid. I mean, my first suspicion is obviously it's from holding a cell phone against his head. But, you know, it's my brother's dearest friend. And he said, Reno, what can I tell him? You know, he's a smart guy. They're basically telling him that with this treatment and that treatment, they'll give him 5 years to live. And you know what I said? The same thing I tell everybody that asks me that. Tell him to go to naturalnews.com and read, read, read. He's going to have plenty of time to read. Just search cancer. Just start reading and educate himself. If you spend enough time on that site of yours, you know, there's just such a bounty of incredibly important information.
Well, that brings up another interesting philosophical conversation, which is what amount of knowledge do we really operate with as human beings in society today? You know, if the available knowledge of our time is, let's say, the depth of the entire Pacific Ocean, you know, really, really many miles deep, right? The average person is operating off of a little thin sliver of water on the very top layer, maybe a millimeter thick. They don't have access to the information that would actually allow them to improve their lives. And in fact, there are forces allied today to prevent people from having access to that information. For example, the FDA censorship of honest and truthful nutritional labels, censorship of websites linking to government-funded studies that talk about the benefits of natural foods and natural substances. Right now in North Carolina, there's an effort where the state is trying to throw a guy in jail because he's a nutrition blogger who used the paleo diet to cure his own type 2 diabetes. And he recommended that diet to others, and they said, you're practicing nutritional consulting without a license. They're trying to throw him in jail. It's astonishing to me that this is going on.
Yeah, I actually read that this morning on your site on Natural News. It's pretty scary, but I think it also speaks to how important it really is that we take advantage of every opportunity to communicate and share so that we can get these people a little deeper into that ocean and depth of knowledge, because really they are only just dwelling on the very surface. And I think a lot of it is, people do have access now more than ever before in the history of mankind. I mean, now we're walking around with smartphones, so in the palm of our hands, everything we could possibly need to know is a Google search away. We do have, I believe, tremendous access to the information, but so many people they're not even conditioned to know it's out there. They're not even conditioned to ask the questions.
It's so selective. Everybody makes their own choices. And yeah, you see it with information just as you see it with food. For example, everybody has an option right now to get Boku Superfood and have really high density nutrition and high mineral content from ocean minerals and ocean plants right into their body. But some people still choose just go to Burger King. So they've got the choice. They could have the best food in the world or the worst food in the world, and they choose the worst food. So they turn on the TV and they choose the worst information for their mind. Not the people who are watching this, because obviously they've chosen the best source of information, but others out there are just choosing junk news as they choose junk food.
But you know what, Mike? What one thing that we've experienced is that once people do become aware and they do make that choice to try Boku Superfood as an example and so many of the other amazing, superfood products out there, especially I can speak to our products. We have a slogan, as you know, Boku Superfood is organic nutrition you can actually feel. And so when you do make that choice and experience Boku Superfood, you feel the effect that it has on your body. You feel this increase in energy, this wonderful increase in energy. You want to get up and do things. You feel healthier. You have healthier bowel movements. And there's nothing you can do but acknowledge that. So right. You can't deny it when you feel it and you experience it. So then you're equipped now with that base of knowledge and experience to make the decision again. And so maybe you go back. So I do think there's a responsibility on our part. And obviously you're aware of it. But I think the people out there that are watching you on Natural News, I think what we need to do, teaching is just another form of sharing. If you have information and you know it's powerful, you know it's transformational, it's almost an obligation to share it. It's like a good joke. We share good jokes. Someone tells us a good joke, we want to tell someone else. Well, someone teaches us something vitally important about nutrition, we have an obligation to share it. That's exactly what I do. I don't want to recreate Natural News. I just tell everybody I know to read it.
Well, that's true. That step requires courage, and more and more people have that courage. There are still some who are unable to invoke it, let's say, but part of that might just be their nutrition as well. It's almost a chicken and egg issue, where if you could get them to drink something like Boku for 30 days, then they would have the courage to start taking responsibility for their nutrition and for sharing and helping others around them and so on. The most frustrating thing I find is when somebody is suffering from a health condition and they approach you, and I know this has happened to you, it's happened to me many times, and a cancer patient typically does this. This is like let's say somebody in my distant family that I might see when I'm back visiting family, and someone comes up to me and says, I've heard about what you do, I think it's great, but I've got this cancer case, and they say these words, I've tried everything. They say, I've tried everything. And I say, really? Have you tried Boku Superfood? Have you tried seaweed? Have you tried sunlight? Have you tried exercise? Have you tried not eating fried foods? Have you tried fresh water? Have you tried, I'll name off like 200 things. I could literally name hundreds of things. They haven't tried any of them. The only thing they've tried is going to their cancer doctor and seeing what he has to say. So they try one thing, not 100 things. But they think they've tried everything.
What? How could they? Yeah, interesting. What is everything? What have you really tried?
Their options are so limited that they think that's everything. But it's actually like, wow, this is everything.
You know what? That's to the point that we're addressing here, is that, you know, it speaks to a limited knowledge base. I mean, to them, everything is calling, you know, the doctor.
That's right. That's it.
And listening to what the doctor has to say. And, you know, God knows the doctor really does want to help you, but, you know, he knows everything, and his everything is only what they taught.
Yeah, he knows everything. Yeah. Just right there, yeah.
He knows everything they taught him, which is, you know, from here to here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's actually kind of sad, but there's so much more to teach and to share. And, so any opportunity I get, I just try to share. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I just know from experience what I've seen and what, you know, our customers have seen. And, boy, I know there are things out there that can really make a difference. No question.
Absolutely there are. And by the way, Boku Superfood is one of those most powerful things. And I just want to say this, too, by the way. There are a lot of superfoods out there on the market. And a lot of people talk about minerals and ionic minerals and colloidal minerals. Folks, a lot of these minerals are just mined from mineral deposits in the ground. Okay, that is not what I want to eat. I want minerals from plants, minerals from seaweed. And the minerals that are in Boku are naturally part of the plants that are used in the formula. So it's like we call them organically bound minerals that are in the plants.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. You know, you're always so kind and so generous with your support of Boku. And as you know, it just means the world to us. I mean, we're so serious about spreading the word, getting Boku out there and sharing it with people. And we're encouraged every day because we keep hearing new, exciting stories about changing people's lives. And that's the amazing thing. It's really not that hard to do. I mean, if you just stop consuming the garbage processed foods that, you know, are poisoning you and, you know, and just embark on a new journey, just try it. I mean, that's what we even tell people. We have 10-day trial packs.
Oh, yeah.
Just try it. 10 days and see the difference it'll make.
Let me share this quick recipe, folks. If you want to have a delicious chocolate smoothie for breakfast with Boku in it, try this. Blend an avocado, a banana, a couple of scoops of this Boku superfood, and some chocolate powder. It could be like raw cacao powder or even just, I don't know, a chunk of chocolate bar that you throw in the blender and blend it up. That right there is so delicious. It's like drinking an ice cream chocolate shake for breakfast. It's like, it's almost like cheating on your diet, but it's superfood. There is no cheating. You're getting the best.
Yeah. You know, and that's the other thing. And there's this sort of myth out there, this fallacy that, you know, health food tastes like crap, you know, that it doesn't taste good. I mean, we know how people just don't understand nutrition and are constantly fooling the nutrient receptors on their tongues, you know, their taste buds, which are designed to tell us what's nutritious and good for us. But the fact is, products like ours, I mean, thanks to, you know, our brilliant formulator, Dr. BJ Anderson, we realize that we need to create that intersection where nutritious meets delicious. And, you know, it's we've managed to do that. I think most of the shock that we experience in people is when they taste our superfood and they go, wow, you know, just when they see it's green, a lot of people are just like, they're kind of like afraid of it. They think it's gonna taste like, you know, you're eating something from the bottom of a lawnmower or something. And then when they taste Boku and they realize, wow, because Boku Superfood's not just a green superfood. Boku Superfood is a broad spectrum blend of so many different ingredients. Of course, we have a bounty of amazing greens, but we also have our proprietary blend of 14 medicinal mushrooms. We have maca. We have strawberry. We have hawthorn berry. We have goji berry. I mean, we have amazing ingredients that form this incredibly sort of, you know, synergistic blend, and it actually tastes good. And that's what freaks people out the most. It actually tastes really good.
Yeah, that's, you know, and there are so many superfoods out there. A lot of companies have jumped on this bandwagon, so to speak, of nutrition. And as always, there are some players that just try to, you know, they try to water it down or cheapen it to still call it a superfood. And sometimes it's nothing but barley grass and spirulina, you know, and soy lecithin. That's not really a superfood.
And maybe, you know, some stevia so that it actually sweet.
Right. And
something
I just,
like
I,
that.
More and more, you got to be discerning about what you're eating every day. That's the point.
Yeah. And we're very discerning about what we put in, the ingredients we put in our foods. And so 100% of everything in Boku products is there. It's functional. It's beneficial. And they're all superfoods. There's nothing added so that we trick your taste buds and convince you that this is fantastic. I mean, there's so many of them out there, Mike. I don't even want to begin naming.
Oh, I know. No, I know. Me too.
You're listening to the Health Ranger Report on Natural News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
We're also blessed in that there are so many great products out there.
That's true.
Make a huge difference in people's lives. So
that's true. Well, getting back to society, because I want to wrap this up with this, what we started with, the question of civilization and society. The Roman Empire fell for many reasons, but one of those reasons historically was that they suffered from lead poisoning. You know, the lead in the aqueducts. And the water supply was actually being poisoned with lead. And, you know, how can you have a healthy republic when the voters who elect their representatives are being poisoned by the water? Well, so, you know, fast forward a few thousand years and you get to United States of America today. You got to ask the same question. If people are being poisoned through the food supply or even through the water with fluoride, which isn't even fluoride, it's a lot of other chemicals. But if people are being poisoned, how can they have a healthy representative form of government in a free republic? They can't. You got to have healthy people to have healthy minds to have a healthy republic. It just makes sense.
No, it really does. And then, you know, also, you know, you've got to have healthy leaders to set healthy examples. I mean, the crazy thing is the leaders are being poisoned too. And so you've got poisoned leaders leading poisoned people, and it's just a poisonous mess.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, at some point people wake up. I mean, you know, President Clinton decided that, hey, I better change some of the things that I'm doing. And, you know, from my understanding, he's you know, pursued this vegan or vegetarian or, you know, at least, you know, nutritious diet as an alternative to what he was eating. And, you know, when you put, you know, really positive, energetic superfoods in your body, you have really positive, energetic thoughts, which result in positive, energetic action. And I think it really is that, you know, this garbage food that we're growing and processing and selling, you know, to profit, is really the foundation. It's fueling this perpetual evil cycle of poisonous thoughts and poisonous energy and, you know, poisonous energy. It's a big poisonous mess.
I think that's absolutely true. You know, if your food is poison and your water is poison, then sooner or later your brain is going to be poisoned. And that just leads to war and corruption and criminality and lack of foresight. You know, how do we get into this budgetary mess in America where we're never going to be able to dig ourselves out of national debt? Because of a lack of foresight, a lack of planning, short-term thinking. Again, we're back into that little box that people like to spend their lives in. And that little box is not what human beings are designed to experience. There's a whole universe of possibilities out there.
Yeah, it's really a shame. I mean, once again, we've talked before about, you know, just the absence of morals, the absence of ethics. I mean, it really is, you know, people need to start first caring about themselves. You know, like our leaders, if they really care about themselves, they'll open up their minds to the possibilities, you know, when you embrace a diet of organic nutrition. And if you start to take care of yourself, if you start to love yourself, you can start to take care of and love other people, including your constituents and the people that follow you, the people that read and watch your advertisements, the people that buy your products. I mean, there's so many people out there pretending like they care. And the reality is they only care. I mean, maybe they do care. And maybe they're just puppets. I don't know. But it sure seems like they're driven by profits, increasing shareholder value, and things that really, in the big picture, don't matter at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just start with yourself and care about yourself and love yourself, I mean, it's not that difficult. In fact, I think it's very natural to love yourself and to love others and to care about others and to care about our beautiful planet. It's really not that difficult to do. I see people all the time. I mean, it's like drive-through windows and microwave ovens, and everybody's in such a daggone hurry. And I remember, like, you know, my grandmother and my mother, when things were simpler and they would take the time, and even preparing food, you know, with a pot on a stove with fire and, you know, stirring the pot with love and intention. I mean, I really think, you know, I'm not trying to sound weird, but I think energetically it just makes a huge amount of sense. I mean, sometimes you can overcome a lot with just pure positive love and intention.
Yeah. Yeah, you're almost talking about the slow food movement there. That's another cultural trend that we've been watching. But what about the idea of having a nation where the leaders must pursue 100% organic, chemical-free diet, and they're tested for it? So if they have pesticides in their blood, they get kicked out of office. Or if they have cancer, if they have Alzheimer's, if they have disease, they're out. You got to be healthy if you want to lead the nation. It only makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a fantasy.
Yeah, right.
It just makes too much sense. But I think it would be absolutely amazing. I mean, if we could raise everybody's consciousness and awareness to that level where our leaders really did lead by positive example, a positive example like that, this world, boy, oh, boy, it'd be so remarkable. Maybe it will happen someday, but I fear it's a pretty good ways out.
Hey, Boku Nation, man. There you go. Make a flag.
I'm all for it. I mean, it was you that said years ago that should be the foundation of the healthcare program. Just giving everybody, instead of having, you know, fast food available in the hospital snack bars or restaurants, start feeding people superfood. Start feeding people Boku superfood. Number one, you'd have a heck of a lot less people visiting the hospital, they'd be there for a lot less time.
Oh, I have no doubt. If the government actually just handed out superfood, and I'm not saying that should be the government's role, but if it did, every $1 million they spent on superfood would probably save them $1 billion, 1,000 times more in terms of reduced Medicare costs, reduced prescription drug costs, increased tax earnings from that person staying alive longer and working longer and so on. It's a no-brainer. It's like a 1,000-to-1 return if you invest in simple things like vitamin D. But the government's not interested, the corporations are not interested, and the people just don't know any better.
Yeah.
So, here we are.
Yeah, and we are interested, and we can be interested, and we can share that message. And and make a difference. And that's what we're going to, this is what we're going to continue to do.
Right,
no question. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Reno. It's always a fascinating discussion with you about nutrition and society. Today was a really good discussion. Really appreciate you taking the time to join me today on the Health Ranger Report.
Yeah, Mike, thanks again. It's always, you know, a remarkable pleasure linking up with you. I enjoy it so much. Any opportunity to spread the good word about Boku Superfood, about superfoods in general, is just awesome, man. Keep up the good work.
All right, you too. You too. Keep it up. We'll connect with you again in a few weeks with some new topics, I understand. So I look forward to talking to you then.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Reno. Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with NaturalNews.com. And today we have a special guest that we are interviewing about the war on drugs in America, and specifically how the current structure of that war on drugs has failed. It has filled our prisons with many people who are otherwise law-abiding citizens in society. Is there a better solution? Could we have a better way to treat people who suffer from real drug addictions but can still function fully in society? And what about the law enforcement burden that this war on drugs places on our men and women in blue who are already short on resources to get their jobs done chasing real bad guys? So today, to join us and discuss this highly contentious issue is none other than Dale Carson. He is the author of Arrest Proof Yourself, a fantastic book that every American should read, I believe. You can check it out on Amazon.com and other locations. He practices law as a defense attorney and handle some other cases as well with his partners, and you'll find his law website at dalecarsonlaw.com. Thank you, Dale, for joining me today. It's good to have you back on.
It's my pleasure.
Well, let's start with what you think about the current war on drugs. You mentioned in your book that you disagree with some of the approach that's currently being undertaken. I think you describe it as a failed system or a broken system. I'm not sure what words you use, but go ahead. Get into your view on how it's working or not working.
Well, I think it really is a failed system. We have plowed great deals of money and human resources into eradication of something, quite frankly, that can't be eradicated. Adults make their own choices of free will, and when they engage in activity like this, it's been criminalized. It's a shame that they do this, but when they do it in a way that gets them arrested, they become a statistic. It ruins their lives and the lives of many other people. And it becomes a profit center for law enforcement. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. But I want to say from a health perspective, and I think you'll probably agree with me here, any chemical that you use to modify your perception of reality is something that's not good.
Right. I would agree.
You know, we all need to learn to live with our lives the way they are. Certainly, this is a health channel. I'm a practicing vegan. And I believe that that's the real solution to those kinds of problems. And I wouldn't want to find chemicals that are foreign to the natural environment in my system.
Yeah, real quick, you're into juicing and health foods. And I forgot to mention, you're also an ex-FBI agent, and you served many years as active duty law enforcement in Miami. So I want people to know that you have real street cred on these issues.
Well, thank you for that, Annette. And I frankly believe that, as I mentioned, we spend too much time and energy on trying to interdict and stop these narcotics. Now, the problem is really not the narcotics from my perspective. It is that the profitability in the sale of narcotics is destabilizing politics, is destabilizing, well, Mexico as an example, and it destabilizes communities. Where those people engage in shootings or turf wars, things of that nature, obviously that's something where we all have an interest and we need to prohibit it. And I think law enforcement's current posture is if we can eliminate narcotics, we'll eliminate all those problems. I don't subscribe to that view. Frankly, I believe that we're always going to have trouble like this, and that what we need to do is focus on the major suppliers, the major people. And what we have done in law enforcement, because it's so easy to do, is to arrest all the minor players. And again, officers who are officers want to be detectives. To make that transfer, you got to make a plenitude of arrests. Arresting narcotics low-level narcotics people is easy to do. You get statistical accomplishments with the least amount of energy, whereas trying to put some major supplier in jail can take years. You may have no arrests during the year, and you look like a bozo in the eyes of your other law enforcement officers. So, but law enforcement needs to mature so that they realize that arresting these low-level people really should be a health problem and not a criminal problem. For example, I represent individuals charged with cocaine possession, and the state, after one or two arrests, wants them to spend 15 months in prison. And after spending 15 months in prison, I can assure you, you will come out of that, even though you may be 28 years old, you'll come out a different person. So there really is no strong intervention effort because law enforcement is in the position of arresting people. The state attorney's office is in the position of putting them behind bars.
Well, this is,
and that's
this is
not
key.
A solution.
Dale, when let's say you take a otherwise honest citizen who smokes a little weed on the side, they get busted, they go to prison, they come out as a hardened criminal. It's like getting a PhD in how to be a thug, how to be a criminal, and then their arrest record means they can't get a regular job anymore, so now they're working low-wage, typical labor jobs where they're probably working with other criminals. So now, you know, society has, in a sense, encouraged them to stay a criminal or even become a worse criminal.
Well, and I think part of that's true. I think that we keep more people in custody than any other country in the world, and that's shameful. We can do way better than that. And arresting people again for minor offenses is just pointless. Now, there has been some latitude given to marijuana possession. I mean, under 20 grams really is a misdemeanor. Over 20 is a felony. It's not often prosecuted heavily anymore, but even so, for me, the use of marijuana, again, is a mechanism for changing who you really are. If you've got a problem with your environment where you're not happy enough, you need to look to something else. Get out of that environment if you're not happy. To use some alternative substance to make you happy is insanity at its best. But the system is made to digest these people on the lower level, again, because they're easier to do. And truly, it will destroy your life. Once you're tagged as a criminal, the normal doors of society are not going to be open to you any longer. And in this economy, it's a real struggle to keep and maintain work. So we have gone just way over, and it's a point of interest here. I was cross-trained with the DEA to be involved in narcotics. Clearly, the focus of the major DEA organizations and the FBI, to the extent that the FBI is now involved in interdiction of narcotics, is the higher level people. And those are the people that you go to, that people go to church with, that run banks, that do the financing. We all seem to think that it all happens in the back room of a little shady shack somewhere where guys in briefcases with $100,000 are passing it back and forth. And although that image is partly true, it really gets back to the community itself. Someone in your community is financing these drug operations. An effort of law enforcement needs to be to identify those people and take them out of the game and make sure nobody else can get into that game where they are now absent. And that's not happening. What's happening is we're going along. Historically, we arrest a bunch of people. The politicians play it up. Well, look, we've made all of these narcotics arrests. Gee, aren't we doing a good job? And the answer to that is, no, you're not. And we really can't convince politicians because they are elected by people who are not fully informed, as many of your listeners are. So that's a problem for all of us.
Well, we're also seeing the increased militarization of local police to deal with drug interdiction. We've seen the United States, for example, run chemical spraying airborne missions in places like Ecuador, where coca is grown legally. And I have consumed coca tea when I was hiking through the high altitude Andes, and I think the stuff probably kept me going. But that's a tea. That's not refined cocaine. I've never used cocaine. I'm not a recreational drug user, and I don't advocate that, just like you don't. In fact, I don't even drink alcohol, but that's, you know, that's people's choice. What I'm against is the massive criminalization when it could all be dealt with in a better way. And you recommend, Dale, in your book, Arrest Proof Yourself, you advocate a parallel, what do you call it, a drug court system that would...
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that? How does that work?
Well, the way the drug court works is it's a court, so it has some power of law, if you will. that when you're a wrestler, do you have a problem? It helps focus your energies. It's much like a mandatory AA or NA program. It helps focus your energies to get off of the substance abuse, to identify reasons that you are an abuser, and to eliminate those reasons so you don't have any desire to be an abuser. Look, as I grow older, I need all the brain cells I have, and I need to be as efficient as I can intellectually. Otherwise, I'm going to have problems, and I don't need to disturb that with chemicals. And so I think we all in the court system are aware that if we could have a program, a hardened program, that you could admit people into that kept them out of the criminal system, we'd all be better off. But again, the social traction to do that, or the political traction, rather, to do that is limited. And so people are not willing to invest that because they're just drug users. And remember, people under arrest, criminals, are an underrepresented minority.
Yeah.
Truly.
Why is there so much resistance across society to perceive the drug problem as a health challenge or a medical issue rather than just an outright criminal issue, especially with marijuana?
Let me answer that for you, all right? You know, there are test kits that we use in law enforcement to determine what the narcotics is, right?
Yes.
And they're probably $25 a pop, right?
Yeah, like the NIC kits, N-I-K, I think.
Right, yeah, right, right. Yeah. And so there's a company that manufactures those, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that company has an interest in keeping the drug laws, right?
Of course.
And so what happens is the system becomes what I consider, you know, evolution is an expansion where things become better. Involution is where it comes internally more complex. And this is an instance of involution, really. There are many people who become involved in the system that's profitable, the bail bondsmen, the criminal defense lawyers, the justice system, Salvation Army, who run probation. It's a big money-making machine that operates off of the tragedy suffered by people who are in custody and shouldn't be, or arrested and shouldn't be. To give you an example, and this is really kind of horrifying, there's a phone in the jail. Now, we all grew up thinking you get one phone call out of the jail, right?
Yeah.
There's a phone system in our jail here in Jacksonville, Florida, that you have to pay, or not you as the inmate, but your family, if the inmate calls the family, they pay $2, I think, and 25 cents or $2.50 for the phone call.
Really?
15 minutes, right?
That's a lot of money in prison.
It is. It is. And about 2 years ago, I checked, and they made $2.5 million in 1 year off of that phone system.
Wow.
Now, there, if you need motivation to keep the system the way it is, I mean, there it is, all right? So many, many, many people feed off the system, the contractors who make the jails, the people who rent the ankle monitors, the people who supply uniforms. I mean, in a practical manner, it's a huge, huge business. In Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, a third of the government's budget is allocated to law enforcement, which in part includes corrections.
Wow.
So that's a huge amount. Now, if we had that same third and we could invest it in harvesting non-GMO crops, or we could use it for rehabilitation of people who are addicts, or we could do it in the social arena in some manner, look how much better we'd be off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. What about, and I don't know your opinion on this, I'm going to ask, this is a wild card question, but aren't there also historically some corrupt departments? I mean, Miami was famous for this in the past. They made huge profits off of the drugs that they allowed to be imported and sold because they were black market priced. And
right.
So
well, I don't have any question that happens. Not too long ago, we had a sheriff north of here in another county was arrested because he took the seized narcotics and was reselling it. So, yes, that happens. And I think here's an interesting point. J. Edgar Hoover, who's been much maligned, but was a really great guy, didn't want the FBI to ever be involved in narcotics. And it's interesting, his thought process about that. He knew that there was so much money in drugs that it could easily tempt any human being to do things that they shouldn't do. For example, be co-opted by it and working for a drug cartel when you were an FBI agent. I mean, I can't think of anything worse. And to back that up a little bit further, back when I was cross-trained with the DEA, if a plane flew in, if you were a pilot and you could fly a twin-engine plane, you could take that plane to Colombia, fly it back here, belly land it in the Everglades in South Florida, and guess how much money you'd be paid for that one flight?
I don't know, six figures?
$500,000.
Wow.
And it got to the point where they didn't count the money. They simply put it in a 30-gallon garbage container and weighed it on the kind of scale that you and I would look at.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would say, here's your money. Well, now, when you're talking about numbers like that, and I'm sure it's even more today, think about that. Could that corrupt an organization? There's no question about it.
Well, that's one of the best arguments for decriminalization at some level, isn't it? Because it takes it sucks the profits out of the system, which causes, for example, Mexican drug gangs would not be able to fund themselves to the extent they do today. It lets the government tax the drugs, and it takes a lot of the profits out of the underground. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do, but I think there's more to it than just that. If they took that money and put it into real investigative talent to identify the thieves in Washington, the thieves in the banks, if they would put it there, we'd all be so much better off, really. Our lives would be better. The economy would be way more sound than it is now. We need to look at law enforcement's energy as being finite. And so if we allocate it to doing things that don't make any sense, like the war against drugs, we're really just throwing money away. And it's pointless to do that. We need to reinvent ourselves when it comes to law enforcement and start focusing on the really bad people. I recently was on TV here in Jacksonville, and we were talking about the fact that in Jacksonville, nobody in city government has been arrested recently within the last 10 or 15 years for stealing from the city of Jacksonville. Now what that tells you is one of two things. Either everybody in this city is so honest and straightforward that thievery or dishonesty is not even on the menu.
It's a utopia.
Right? It's a utopia. Or somebody is allocating investigative resources to areas that don't contain those folks. And I suggest to you the latter of those is the truth. And we've got to ask ourselves, why do we do that? And the answer is, in part, it's much easier to arrest somebody on a minor criminal charge, keeping in mind that officers want to do this because it's a sport. Now, I don't mean in the sense that they necessarily have fun doing it, and certainly all the players, meaning my clients, are not having any fun at it. But what I do mean is that there's a lot of competition between young officers to be at the top of their game. And if it's just the number of arrests, the statistical accomplishments, that creates a problem internally in law enforcement.
Right, right. Well said. I got a final question for you, Dale, as we wrap this up. You know, the other side of this is that law enforcement is what prevents members of society from acting out their worst animalistic impulses. And, you know, in one sense, I'm super happy that we have law enforcement on the streets. I'm talking about local police and sheriffs, because I've seen what happens when that isn't in place, like after Hurricane Katrina, for example. You know, there is a lawlessness bent inside every person that can come out if they sense an opportunity. What's your take on that?
Well, here's my take on it. It's not law enforcement that makes you behave. It's your mother. Right? It is, truly. And now it may be your next door neighbor, but it's the friends, the people you care about and love and that love you, that really restrict your behavior. It's not law enforcement. If law enforcement's got to come in and restrict your behavior, it's way, way, way too late.
Right. Well said. Well, Dale, I want to thank you again for joining me. Dale Carson is the author of Arrest Proof Yourself, a highly recommended book. I've read it. I recommend it to every citizen, even if you're not a criminal. This is for law-abiding citizens to know their rights, to know how the legal process works, and to know how to protect your rights and just save yourself from all the hassle of being arrested. Dale's website for his law practice is dalecarsonlaw.com. And you can find other videos, other interviews with Dale on tv.naturalnews.com as well as YouTube. Dale, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.